2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 to 23. Aram's folly. What I really mean is the king of Aram's folly. And I could use other words, stupidity, inconsistency. But I'll stick with this, Aram's folly. The king of Aram was at war with Israel. And he set up a military cabinet, a war cabinet. He conferred with his officers, verse 8. And he decided to set up camp in such and such a place. But unknown to the king of Aram, the man of God, Elisha, had been given revelation by God. Now, it doesn't say that, but that's the only way it could possibly be. The man of God knew what these secret plans of this cabinet, the king's purpose, was. And so he sent word to the king of Israel and said, "Now beware, the Arameans are setting up camp here, there, and everywhere, and so on, so avoid it, or whatever it is." Time and again, Elisha warned the king of Israel. So he knew, the king of Israel knew, what the king of Aram was doing. The king of Aram would decide on another plan, another scheme, another place. But again and again, through Elisha, the king of Israel knew where he was going to be. This enraged the king of Aram. He lost his rag. He went into a rage. He went into a temper. He lost his temper. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, he was suspicious, "One of you is a spy. One of you has betrayed our secrets to the king of Israel." But they replied, "No, it's not us." They knew it's the king of Israel's prophet, is Elisha, is the man of God, the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. You see, Elisha knows your thoughts. He knows your schemes. He knows your plans. God is making it known to him. This is the only explanation. So the king of Israel, the king of Aram is determined to take hold of Elisha and put a stop to this. "Go and find out where he is. I'll send men and capture him. He's at Dothan." So Aram, the king of Aram, sends his horses, his chariots, and strong force. He sends a detachment. He sends a military detachment with armor to capture Elisha. And the story goes on. And of course, instead of Elisha being captured, Elisha captures the detachment. But let me stop there. Aram's folly. What do I mean? Well, there are two strands to this. The king of Aram hears that Elisha is being told by God what he's thinking, what he's planning. So that's one strand. The revelation, the supernatural, the miraculous. Elisha knows. Elisha knows what's going on in Aram. He knows the secrets. That's one strand. And therefore, he takes action. And the action he takes is material. He sends a force, a detachment. He wants to capture Elisha. Now, I see in this utter folly. If it's true that Elisha has this revelation from God, and he knows what the king of Aram is thinking, then all these plans of Aram to capture Elisha must come to nothing, because Elisha must know. If God is really revealing himself to Elisha, then these material forces, a detachment and armor, will be of no use whatsoever. He's fighting with the wrong weapons. So if it's true, he ought to take other steps. He should make his peace with God. He should come to terms with Elisha. God knows. He's fighting not Elisha, but God. Armor won't stop God, and it won't stop Elisha. Can you see the inconsistency here? Can you see the folly? If it's true, why are you doing that? And if it's not true, why are you worried about it? You see, the king of Aram shows the natural man in his stupidity. Now, I know the natural man thinks the gospel is foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1. If you're an unbeliever, you think all this talk about heaven and hell, about sin and judgment, and the blood of Christ, you think it's a load of nonsense, don't you? Many think it's a load of nonsense, or claim to think it. But have you noticed how many like to make sure? They like to call on a priest to baptize their children. They like to, or so-called baptize, sprinkle them. They like to call on a priest and such like when they get married or at other times in life, and especially in death. Indeed, I've just written on it, deceit in death. They love to have a priest to make it all right with them when they go into eternity. Of course, there's nothing in eternity, they'll say. There's nothing there, but just to make sure. Can you see the utter inconsistency and folly of the natural man? He says the gospel's foolishness. The boot is on the other foot. My friend, if you're an unbeliever, you don't believe a word of this gospel. You despise this gospel. You laugh at this gospel. You dismiss this talk of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ and heaven and hell. Will you act consistently? I admire those men and women who are prepared to act consistently in this area. 95, 99% of men and women are not, though. They like to call upon God even though they don't believe a word of it. My friend, if there is the truth of the gospel there, make your terms with God now, and God has made his terms with you already. It is repent and believe and bow to Jesus Christ. Trust him. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Refuse him and you will perish. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Aram illustrates to you your inconsistency, your folly, your stupidity. Either it's true or it's not. Have you heard politicians talking? Most of them don't believe a word of it, and yet they use words like God and prayer and all that kind of thing at disaster times. They want it both ways, and you can't have it. The king of Aram shows the natural man's stupidity in this area. I appeal to you. If it's true, repent and believe. If it's not true, then be consistent with it. Of course, I appeal to you. Come to Christ because it is true. Oh, taste and see how true it is, how gracious the Lord is. Don't wait and see how appalling will the judgment be, but you will prove it if you will not repent and believe. Learn from the king of Aram. See his stupidity, and then look in the mirror and see yourself and tell yourself you're acting stupidly. If God be true, then repent and believe now and come to Christ now.